listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
After reading a New York Times article regarding a mummy kept preserved for about 300 years, I'm going to get me some mummy tape for your love. Preserve it for 3,000 years or more. I'm going to let the world see you tapping a blue shell dance of love. I'm going to ride your love bareback on totem poles. Bear your image on mountains, turning in ocean sleep. String your sighs through the rainbow of old age in the midst of desert people and times. I'm going to fly your red eagle laughter across the sky. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
And we are live on a Sunday morning.
Yes, we are.
Mm-hmm. A mere few hours before I have to do this too much with Bossy. Mm-hmm. Or should I say get to do, because it is a pleasure. It'll be a double header for me, guys.
Yes, I love y'all doing that show. I don't watch the show, and I do periodically go back and like listen to them kind of after y'all have recorded them and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I actually have a ball and laugh and stuff, even though, you know, I don't know why everybody, but some people I do know. I know Sterling K. Brown, but you know what, he's one of the few people. I know it might sound weird, but you know me, I always know the characters' names on the show, but not the real people names. He's the only person to verse. I know his name. I don't know who he plays on the show, but I know that nigga name.
Yeah, he plays Randall, and I wonder how many people listen to this too much or don't watch the show. That would be an interesting number, but yeah, I can't wait to recap it.
Walking Dead and Game of Thrones, people just listen even though they don't watch the shows.
I can understand that for sure. Of course, you can find the show, The Blackout Tips, on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Leave us 5-star reviews. We'll read them on the air. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
And the unofficial sport
is Bullet Ball.
And Bullet Ball Extreme. And today's podcast is brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions. We've been doing voiceover for 8 years now, and we got a new YouTube video detailing that journey. If you're interested in voiceover specifically, watch the whole 36-minute video. I'll put the link in the chat. But if you just, in the show notes. But if you just want to see Rod and Karen's bits, that starts at the 11:45 minute mark. Check it out. It's fun. And if you enjoyed it, give us a thumbs up or a comment. So I'll make sure to put it on the link in the notes for the show. So if you're listening on an app or something, you can just go to the show notes, tap on it, and see for yourself. We have fun recording those, and
we do.
He's always documenting some stuff in the background. So now you guys can see us. You get interviewed and talk about it and stuff.
We have behind the scenes.
Right. All right, let's get right into it. But first, these words from Karen.
Yeah, something I want to say. I have a random thought because I kind of want to get on before we kind of get into everything. And it's small. I felt like I was an adult because I got me the good windshield wipers. I'm talking about the really good ones, the ones that like I curve and stick to your windshield. Mm-hmm. And the ones I have was like, we even will spray some water repellent across your windshield wipers. And I felt like a motherfucking adult because I was like, bitch, I can see out my window now.
That is an adult purchase when you get excited about shit like that. You know,
I mean, not that I couldn't see before, but I'm like, we gonna be crystal clear now. Ain't no rain gonna stop me now.
Yeah. When you get excited about stuff like buying windshield wipers, that's official adult shit.
Yeah, honey, I was excited. Them shits was expensive. I was like, you know, because a lot of people say they're worth it. Mm-hmm. And you know, you see the commercials, you be like, yeah, like y'all can really do all that stuff. But I went and I was like, this shit is high. But I was like, I'm old now. I don't like to be squinting my eyes when it rain and shit. I want to be able to see. So I was like, I will upgrade now, you know, because I can afford to upgrade. I'm in the spot where I can do that. So I was like, hey, I'm gonna do this. And I really got excited shopping for windshield wipers. They had a book, but they didn't give me a manual, but they had a book where you could tell your sizes of your windshield wipers. And my crazy ass, I always thought your left one and your right one was the same size, but apparently they not, depending on your window and your make, you know, model of your vehicles. So like one of mine is like 24 and the other one was like 14, and I was like, bitch, this don't make no sense. But I was like, well, the book said it is. So, but it was right. It was right, because I don't know nothing about no windshield wipers. And then the thing is, I got one off, I was good, But the other one, I couldn't get off. I had to call to help me. Why is them bitches so hard to get off?
Yeah, I don't know why that one was just stuck a little bit or something. I don't know, but we got it off. We got it changed. It was no big one. No big deal. I was glad to be able to help.
Yes, I had a good time. I had to actually, I was, cause the one that was giving me a hard time, I actually Googled, a YouTube how to take off a windshield wiper. Cause I was like, maybe I'm doing something wrong here. I was like, nah, it was just stuck.
Yeah, I think, one of the things about, you know, adulting, quote unquote, or just getting older and, you know, paying off debt and, you know, being able to like kind of have a little room to breathe in your budget and stuff, you know, you're able to do stuff for yourself that, it's so weird. There's such little things, but they enhance your life so much. And so, you know, some of these things, like a windshield wiper could really be like a safety thing, you know, like, right. Having to go, it's amazing how you had to go cheap on windshield wipers and you mess up your own visibility and they wear out sooner. You go cheap on tires, you know, you're really playing with your life out there on the roads.
You have to like, replace them more frequently.
Right. Like, like there's cost built in. And when you can afford a little bit more, you can afford to, oh, I'm gonna get this maintenance on my car before the light pop up.
Right.
Stuff like that. It does change your life and it decreases a lot of stress, but, you know, they say money can't buy happiness, but it does change a lot of shit that I think we don't think about very often that is stressful, that becomes less stressful. You know, we have these things now in the bathroom that are like carousels for all of our,
I love them.
You know, all of our, beauty supplies and root mate, you know, your, your stuff that you do in the bathroom and, you know, it's such a small thing, but I wasn't even really thinking about getting something like that. Although it's kind of obvious I needed it. I just had a whole counter full of just products and shit.
Laid around everywhere.
And every time I got out the shower and you start looking in the mirror, getting do your daily stuff, it was like dominoes. Like,
yes!
I knocked down the deodorant, then the fucking, my beard spray go down, and then this thing, and I'm picking that back up, and I'm knocking something down when I pick it back up. Like, and it's such a small, not really a huge stressor thing, but it's something you just get used to. And, you know, now I had that carousel, and I don't have to worry about that no more. It probably saved me just a couple minutes every day, but it's also just less stressful. It looks better in there, stuff like that, but, you know, you don't think about that. I bought a shoe rack last year.
Oh, I love that shoe rack.
You know, it's like right by the door, but it's a place to put my shoes when we come in the house. And, you know, you can keep some shoes by the door.
Yes.
And they're not on the ground.
Right. They're not piled on top of each other where you gotta, you know, like search for a needle in the haystack. Cause my shoes are smaller than yours. So a lot of times I have to kind of search through a needle in the haystack. I'm like, oh, this is too much.
Right. Or if it's rainy or something, you can put your shoes on the rack. It's just little stuff like that. You know, when you get to that point where you're like, I'm going to spend the extra $2 on toilet tissue every time, that makes it better quality toilet tissue than the, you know, the cheap kind that you keep going. I'm saving money, but you also got to use more of it and it's not very good, you know.
Right.
Little, you know, oh, I can get toothpaste that actually is for sensitive teeth, you know what I mean? Like,
it's right,
like
my toothpaste ain't sensitive, but I'm gonna buy it anyway.
Like, you know, you go to the toothpaste aisle and there's like 75,000 fucking toothpaste brands in that little aisle. And I've always, most of my life, just gotten AIM because it's 99 cents.
Come on, and kept it trucking.
That was it. That was like, oh, cool, the 99 cent toothpaste. What could possibly be the fucking difference?
Right.
And then you get, you know, you get a little something. So you're like, let me try a little something different. Okay, I'm going to get $4 toothpaste or whatever the fuck, the $8 toothpaste is on sale for $6. Let me see what the fuck $8 worth of toothpaste feel like in my mouth,
right?
Just to see, you know. And it's like little stuff like that that just changes stuff. So but yeah, that's an example of that, is the windshield wipers, and being like, I'm gonna get the $20 windshield wipers, as opposed to I used to come in and get the $4 windshield wipers. That shit tear up on the way home,
right?
And I'm back to need some more windshield wipers, you know?
Right. One or two good rainstorms. Right. That's a motherfucking wrap, especially if it rains a lot where you live. And,
like, my windshield wipers are straight till I had to use them.
Yes! I turned them bitches on and it happened to be raining. I looked and they were peeling. and that you know, not that all wish wipers don't peel, but they probably have been peeling, but I never paid it any attention. I was like, shit, they peeling. I was like, well, let me go replace the windshield wipers. And I went in there and I was like, you know what? And that was an adult decision. I was like, you know what? Today, I'm going to buy the good bitches. And that's the best decision that I ever made. So now when it pours down raining, I might have to reduce my speed. But you know, the one thing about bad windshield wipers, when the rain get rid of it bad, of course everybody has to stop, but you know, it might be the good windshield wipers, you can actually roll on through that storm a little bit further. You know, you don't have to completely stop because your motherfucker can't see shit,
right? So just little stuff.
Mm-hmm. Little stuff like that make a big difference in what I realized. And I know I've been sending you little things, like the carousel thing, because I purchased mine first. And I'm the type of person, I have to see it to use it. So I have all types of stuff, but they're like in the cabinets, up underneath the sink, in places that is not convenient. So I don't use them because I don't see them. So I was like, I got to get something to pull them out. So I got like hair products that I frequently use, I put my nail polish, combs, brushes, and like the way it is, you can like, it got little shelves you can manually put in. And I was like, that was the best purchase ever. And I'm looking around the house and there's little things. I go, oh, if you get like a little small organizer, you could still function, but it just makes it, the appearance looks better. Like I've been looking for like little cheap things to kind of make a difference. Like they have one for, like your broom and your mop. And like little things that you use, like your dust and stuff, and you can like put it on the back of the door, and all you do is click in and click out. $8-$9. But you know what you ain't doing? Fumbling through a broom closet, picking up shit at the mop, at the bucket, going, is this the broom? Wait a minute, shit, no, that's the mop. No, it's this, nope, you can open it up and keep it trucking.
Like, well, part of this is just one, having the money in the room and the budget to be able to think about these, to do these things.
Correct. And it's a privilege, I'm not gonna lie, yes.
Yeah, of course, it's a privilege. And then the second thing is also having the wherewithal to think about it, because I just don't be thinking about it. Like right now in the pantry, we have all these mix matched like plasticware shit, but half of it's from like we get takeout, and we're just trained as black people, maybe everybody in America, I don't know,
to hold on to it.
But if it's good takeout, come like on. If it's good,
get that good Rubbermaid,
like if it's that good plastic shit, you be like, you know what, I'm gonna put this in, this could go through the dishwasher.
Come on,
like if it can make it through the dishwasher, then it's, I might good. Have to keep this. And now I just got a bunch of mix match ass fucking plastic shit that none of it belongs together. Mm-hmm. And I probably could take the time out, buy a set of plasticware from somewhere. It'll fit neater into my thing. I don't have to stack it all fucking willy nilly like it's stacked in there right now.
Come on!
And it won't fall down every time I reach in there to grab something. But like, that's just something I literally, until we got on the air and talked about this, I had never thought about.
Yeah,
so.
And I've been looking, like I said, I've been going through Amazon actually looking for organizers. Other people, and they're not expensive. A lot of people think they're very expensive. They're not expensive at all. And so I've even seen like little organizers for, like you said, that type of stuff. I even seen one, it was really cheap, one for your like your Saran wrap, your clear wrap and shit like that. Well, you can kind of just stick them in there and pull them out as you need it.
It's just weird because like people even like, because I know one, I have no idea how interesting this is, it might be boring to people, I don't know, but one of the things that, to kind of bring it back though, one of the things people talk about a lot with especially with even like depression and things of this nature, like clutter and that kind of like that shit is like either a sign or sometimes even like a thing that kind of causes it, you know. Like it's one of the reasons people talk about spring cleaning, declutter this, and like one of the things people advise to people is like clean up your workspace, clean up your life, clean up your house, like not just keep it clean, but also like make it neat, make it organized.
Get rid of stuff you don't need.
Yeah, well, you'll feel more, you'll feel better. You'll feel like you have more space and stuff. So, you know, I do notice that these things kind of help, you know. Having a shoe rack instead of a pile of shoes.
Yes.
Having, you know, the organized bathroom stuff in there. Like, mm-hmm. I do think that stuff matters and changes.
Go ahead.
And it changes the attitude towards things too. When you go in your bathroom and you see like, oh, cool, I got this. I like my bathroom shower curtain. I like, you know, like I think it does change things and your attitude, but it's also a luxury.
Yeah, and a lot of times it's the appearance, because the thing is, you can use these things and not be a neat freak. It's just like, okay, everything kind of has its place. And everything's not strewn around, so you can still function and however you normally function, it just has the appearance of looking better. And like, even over here, I have like a shoe rack, and I got like particularly my summer shoes, because you know, they're small and they could go in like two of the, cause it's like the left foot and the right foot on the rack. So I just take two of mine and stick them in one. So like your flip flops and stuff, like right now you're not wearing, I can just stick them in that. And that way they not, I don't have, I get rid of shoe boxes. It just looks better.
Yeah. She's talking about a shoe rack that goes on the back of your closet. Mm-hmm. It's not even a rack. It's like a shoe holder. It goes on the back of a door for like a closet. So like if you have a closet but you don't have room for fucking hundreds of shoes or whatever, how many shoes are on that little holder, you can put it there. It's just something neat and small, but it's not that, it doesn't cost that much or anything. But it's like I said, it's these little things, these little changes. And you know, it's one of the things I've noticed as we get more financially secure, we're able to be able to do some of these things, and it's just things I never really would have thought about before. Mm-mm. You know, but it's also like you said, it's also a privilege. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, and like I said, even I know before we talked about it, even the toothbrush thing, like I said, that's not a big thing, but I'm to the point now to where I really like the electronic toothbrush or the battery powered toothbrush. I was like, oh, and the head spins. I was like, now I'm bougie. I'm like, oh, the head don't spin, I don't want it.
Yeah, you know, and it's nice to be able to do that, because it's wild. It's just wild, because you know, when you're worried about, I hope I don't buy too much of groceries and my account get debited or get a fee, when you're worried about like should I write a check because my direct deposit didn't hit till Friday.
Come on.
If I write this check on Wednesday and they don't cash it till, like, I had to do that math.
Like the days, yes,
many,
sir.
Many, many fucking times in my life. Like, you know, we've all had, you know, that I think a lot of us have had that. It's so weird, because, one of the worst things that, about, like, especially American society is that we convince people that not having money is a negative character trait, and it says something about you, and that having money is a positive character trait, and that says something about you. When money's not a meritocracy.
No.
And access to money's not a meritocracy. So it's interesting to experience this life where, you know, as you get older and you do have more, you're able to do a little bit more. The difference between, like, for me, and I'm not saying, I'm sure rich people is way different, but
right,
for the difference before me of being able to get like a 99 cent toothbrush versus the $5 toothbrush or the $8 toothbrush that lasts you for 3 months and it's got rotating this, that, and the other, mm-hmm, and all this shit, and it got a battery in it and whatnot, the difference is so small. Because if you think about the difference of, say, that $5 or $6 over the course of the next 3 months, if you budget it out per day, you're really talking about like pennies a day is a difference in a quality of my toothbrush experience. Like, it's not, right, even some major, like, this isn't some major, like, I went out and went to Hawaii, or look at me on Instagram, I'm taking pictures I'm taking pictures on the cruise. Like, it's not even some major, like, I spent $5,000. It's literally like a little fucking thing, like, I spent $4 extra on toothpaste. And it's funny that kind of shit, it can have a life-changing kind of just a small like more comfort, a small comfort in your life compared to what it was before.
Yeah, and like I said, and I know it's little things, but like particularly even being a woman, as you get older, your hair products change, you know, because all of a sudden you step away from that Blue Magic and, you know, and Pink Oil Moisturizer. I know some people still use those products, but for some women, once they get to a certain age, they're like, you know what, I've been using these all my life, you know, I want to go out and I can spend, you know, $20 on this and $5 on this, you know, and spend a little bit more.
Well, part of that is also in our lifetime, we've had the advent of the internet.
Oh, correct.
So that's not necessarily the same, because if you had the $20 to spend 15 years ago, what was you gonna spend it?
Yeah, you ain't had nothing but Blue Magic.
Right. So now, like, black women have been so enterprising in that industry, and the internet has allowed people to connect. So you can be like, I want juices and berries. Come I'm gonna on. Go to Oyen. I'm gonna go to, oh, I got this friend. She does butters and shit. I'm gonna go holler at her, cause I met her on Twitter. That's not just access to money. That's also just access to new alternatives that weren't even there before. I'm saying my entire fucking life, I have walked past $5, $6, $8 toothbrushes because I was like, that's crazy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's just wild though. That the difference between like, oh, I'm doing better and nigga, I hope I can eat lunch this week is 99 cent toothbrushes. Ramen Pride,
come on.
You know, it's the cheapest paper towels, the cheapest toilet tissue. It's, you know, it's just little shit. It's just so, it's like the death of a thousand cuts every fucking week. And, you know, and it's just, I appreciate the things that I have, even when the things I have aren't that extravagant.
Right.
Cause I used to not even have that. You know what I mean? So.
Right. And like you say, it's the small things that I've, like I said, like, and it, like you said, it's kind of, I don't want to say it's silly, but it's like you spending a little bit more on things and you can just tell, okay, I like these things. Even, and I can speak for myself, I never really been into makeup and stuff like that, but the older I get, the more I'm realizing that I do like lip gloss and matted lipstick and things like that. So I've been branching out and going and looking to see, and there's different kinds, and I had tried some black on. I like black on my lips. Black matted lipstick look really good on me. Me and Roger was looking, I mean, I showed Roger my lips, my lips on my face. I just not thought about how that sounds. I show him the other lips too, but right now we're talking about lips on my face. You're so nasty, Karen. But anyway, I correct myself up. But anyway, I do. So I was showing him my black lipstick, and I liked it. I liked the way it looked on my face. And then I had some pink metallic lipstick, and I didn't like it, but people were giving me tips on it, tips, and I didn't even know. So it's like you say, with the internet, you can go and you can be like, how does this look? And a lot of people's like, that looks good on you, you know, you could tone it down or use like a liner. And so I'm kind of, at the older I get, I could spend more money in the higher quality makeup, you know, because I would, when I did do it, I would get like the cheaper stuff. Now I can say, oh, I'm gonna buy the $8 lip gloss. You know, it's kind of that same thing. You know, I can go buy, you know, you could be bougie. You could be like the vegans. You could be like, I want stuff no sulfate free. And I want, you know, stuff that's been non-animal tested. You know, you can get to a certain point where you could be bougie and picky about the products that you buy.
Yeah, it's just interesting how small that difference is, but how big that difference is. Cause it adds up over time. It's, you know, it's like how people call Whole Foods Whole Check, but you know, it has supposedly higher quality, better ingredients, less you know, less preservatives and all this type of shit. But you know, it could be like literally life or death when it comes to like somebody's budget, you know, and what they eat.
Correct.
All right, let's get into news. Teachers and guns, y'all. It's going on. It's happening. So you know, there's a huge gun debate stuff. Corporate America's getting involved. Dick's Sporting Goods will no longer sell the assault rifle style weapons, period. Like, we went to Dick's Sporting Goods to get our exercise equipment, and didn't even think to look, like, to, I guess if you're not a gun person, it's weird how you walk right past this death every day. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, oh, I want to go get a basketball, Evolution basketball. I walk right past a section of just could shoot up 12 schools, right? But walk right by
it. Don't even think twice.
Don't even think twice. Like, that's how inundated we are in the society with these fucking guns. But, yeah, anyway, they're not going to sell them anymore, period, at all. And I want to say there's other people that have joined in on this. Like, I know Walmart, I think, joined in on this.
And they said Kroger's. I was like, shit, I didn't even know Kroger sold guns.
Kroger did not join in on this.
I was about to say, that don't make no sense.
Kroger, first of all, Kroger, the grocery store, doesn't sell guns.
Okay.
Kroger is a company, that has subsidiaries, and one of them is Fred Meyer, stores.
That makes sense.
Fred Meyer is kind of like a Walmart.
Okay.
They're just going to stop selling these guns to people under 21.
Okay.
So they're not really joining in the protest of, we're not selling these, we're not fucking with these guns.
Okay, that makes more sense. Because I was like, I've never seen a gun in a goddamn Kroger. What is happening here?
Delta Airlines CEO Ed Bastian issued a company-wide memo Friday. He's a Delta Airlines CEO, addressing the fallout between the carrier and the NRA, because they said, we're no longer accepting NRA member discounts. And one of the things that was funny is, they have not even got a lot of business from these NRA discounts. Like, they spilled all the tea on Twitter and was like, we've only had like 6 people use this shit since we started this program. Like, it's not even worth having. Like, we're not even making money from it.
Correct.
Now, what I find interesting is the state of Georgia, they have rescinded like these discounts and stuff that they gave Delta, for coming to Georgia, because of this. They're basically saying, we're not down with the NRA. And Delta doubled down, like, yo, our principal's not for sale, we don't give a fuck.
And I don't blame you, and they better fuck around, because they're going to be like a piece of hood on Papa John's. I kept seeing other states, but hey, Delta, what your man won't do?
Yeah, I saw I think it was like Louisiana.
Come on, they were singing. They was like, hey, you can put your headquarters here, baby.
To be there for you. To love you all night long.
Come on.
It's kind of funny, buddy.
They was like, come on out here in the middle of nowhere. We'll take care of you.
Because I'm right here. And I'm ready.
Yeah, they said they're going to,
like, fuck with us if you want to. We can leave. Y'all know we don't got to be here, bitches, right?
Georgia passed a legislation in retaliation Thursday to kill tax exemptions on jet fuel for Delta uses. And so other people was like, let's talk, sliding into their DMs and everything.
Come on. Because not trying to be funny, if they leave, that's going to have a bigger impact than the shit you was trying to do against them. It's stupid.
Yeah, well, it's funny because Republicans are small government, free market economy, da-da-da-da. We need to, corporations are people. Until the corporation makes a decision that they don't agree with, then it's fuck them, right? None of this changes the fact that our home is Atlanta. We're proud and honored to be located in headquarters here, Bastian wrote. And we are supporters of the Second Amendment, just as we embrace the entire Constitution of the United States. I have tremendous respect and admiration for Georgia Governor Nathan Deal, and thank him for the work he's done on the jet fuel tax exemption. He is a great friend of Delta. I know this action by the state legislator troubled him, as it does all of us. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you, eventually somebody gonna get a hold of him and like, nigga, shut the fuck up. Do you know how much money we make? And we
get a hold of who?
The dude is like talking about, we gonna do all, like, the loudest person talking about, we gonna do all these tax breaks and stuff. Mm-hmm. Somebody's going behind his back going, dawg, you better smooth this bullshit over with them.
we're literally one of the largest airports in the world. We can't have them leaving here because you want to act the motherfucking fool about six goddamn people. Calm down, nigga.
Speaking of guns, deputies will now carry AR-15 rifles on school grounds in Florida. So, we just need the kids to survive the third act of Expendables 2. Every time some shit pops off, you gonna have fucking the shooters with the AR-15s and the fucking police with the AR-15s and a bunch of fucking kids walking around in the crossfire of a goddamn den of thieves gun battle. It's ridiculous.
So now I gotta put my kid in a bulletproof vest.
Then we'll get the guns. We'll let the guns teach a class.
Of course.
It's just ridiculous. This is really idiocracy level shit here.
Come on.
And a Georgia teacher was arrested after firing a gunshot in the school classroom. Arm the teachers, guys.
I don't say.
You gotta arm these teachers. That'll fix everything. Just give them guns and it should be fine. You know, these teachers are doing a great job. Now, we're not gonna pay them. I mean, come on.
We're not really gonna properly train them.
West Virginia just had like a boycott of 33,000 teachers in order for them to get pay raises, but let's also give them guns. Where are we gonna find the gun money? Y'all don't even find the money to give them a cost of living increase, but you gonna somehow find the money to to arm them? What? Apparently the teacher in Georgia barricaded himself alone inside his classroom on Wednesday and fired a gunshot when the principal tried to force to open the door, but no one was seriously injured. Police said the instructor was arrested. Imagine how scared those kids were. One girl twisted her ankle trying to flee the pandemonium. This teacher apparently did not want to involve students in this incident in any way. Oh, well, I guess everything's okay. What a relief. Woo. I thought he was going to try to shoot the kids up. Well, give the other teacher some guns.
Tell that to a little girl to twist her ankle.
Yeah, he didn't want to involve them in any way is their way of being like, well, he wasn't planning on shooting up the school. Okay, but the precedent of him even having a gun, though?
Is the problem.
Like, what the fuck
is the problem? Like, school should be one of the main gun-free zones,
right?
It should be a gun-free zone. Unless you're an officer walking around, it should be a gun-free zone.
That's so ridiculous. He was a social studies teacher, by the way, 53 years old. And he also serves the play-by-play announcer for the high school football team. Well, they're gonna have to get a new announcer this fall, I guess.
I guess so. Well, it's Chip Buck is here with your Friday night football guys.
I know. I mean, who knows what was going on in his life, but I just know he shouldn't have had a gun.
Correct. They won't even get background checks, so you're gonna have teachers that are probably not gonna get background checks, probably gonna have bad training and be like, here's guns.
Right. Rick Ross was found unresponsive at his Florida home. There's been some mixed rumors that he's on like life support and shit. Some people are, then I think, what was it, Fat Trail tweeted out that he's not on life support and he just came from the hospital. I don't know, you know.
I just hope he gets well.
Yeah, but he was found unresponsive at his home. 50 Cent tweeted out Ivan Drago from Rocky III on a picture of him on his Instagram, because they have Rick Ross and 50 Cent don't like each other. And he put basically that character is known for being like, if he dies, he dies. Basically trying to say like, he don't care if Rick Ross dies. They said he became combative with medical professionals. According to dispatch record, the 911 caller said the Grammy nominee was just nodding his head and also boo-booed on himself, though it is unclear what that means.
I mean, that's the shit that happens sometimes when you go unconscious. I don't know what the fuck's wrong with people. why would you even release that information?
It's first of all, it's unclear what that means. I have many issues with this. It's unclear what that means, though.
Oh, we know what that means.
We don't know what that means, y'all.
Loss of bodily function. It happens.
We don't know what that means. He shit on himself, guys. Okay.
Come on.
Dave Chappelle said it in stand up. We've heard it before. Second, who says boo boo? You know,
children.
Like, was this one of the Instagram people? Was there a baby in there? Was his grandmama making a call? Who says boo booed on himself? That's such a like.
That's an old school word.
Hey, was somebody, was a mammy in there? Like, the fuck? Boo-booed on himself. Like, somebody great-grandmama would say, oh, baby, he boo-booed on himself. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's terrible. Yeah. Be careful. Don't touch that boo-boo.
The smell is terrible. Yeah, somebody, yeah, they normally say sword.
Right. I mean, even shit on himself in a pinch. I mean, you know, I can see that working. Like,
just go straight to it.
Who, like, I just pick, I just wonder if it was like some Instagram thoughts just hanging out at the Rick Ross mansion being like, oh, he boo booed on himself. I don't know what's going on.
Me either, girl. We got to go.
And then, yeah. And then the last step, I can't believe they reported that.
That's what I just
said. I assume stuff like that happens in medical emergencies all the time when they write the articles.
Correct.
They just leave that out.
Correct.
That's wild. Anyway, it was transported to a hospital by ambulance, receiving respiratory treatment, possibly for pneumonia. Yo, that flu was fucking niggas up too. That's another thing. However, an unidentified family member strike to the website that the entertainer was hospitalized. Us Weekly has reached out to Ross rep for comment. The Purple Lamborghini rapper previously suffered two seizures within a 6-hour period in 2011. He was hospitalized in Birmingham, Alabama, and later told BET 106 in Park it was a case of me not getting enough rest, enough sleep. Wouldn't get 2 hours. I would get 2 hours of sleep and keep moving. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know, fam. Good luck to him. I know it's some hard living in that hip hop shit. And he was just talking to Gunplay about slowing down, so maybe he can slow down himself, man, because that's sad. It's just weird knowing that that dude used to be a corrections officer, and this will be, that will be a lot less damaging to his career than if he shit on himself during
come on. And
56 will get hold of that 911 call, and the next rap song gonna be off the hook, y'all.
Come on, and they both somewhat problematic, you know.
But yeah, oh, both, yeah, very.
Sin is, you know, he cuts a fool, and then Rick Ross lost sponsorships and shit from a rap he said. You're like, okay,
yeah, I mean,
you know, I'm not wishing nothing bad on you, but okay, dog.
It's wild because, you know, so many of these rappers rap about like doing drugs and lean and partying hard and all this shit, and nobody ever stops to ask like, what's wrong with them? You know what I mean? Like, what's up with Lil Wayne that he got to self-medicate to the point where his fucking teeth rotted out and he passed out and died, almost died, and was in the hospital at such a young age, you know? This is weird, because like, on the one hand, it's obviously funny and ridiculous, quote unquote, but on the other hand, it's like, what are these niggas running from? Anyway, a little girl was awestruck by Michelle Obama's portrait and believes she is a queen.
Come on.
Little black girl. And she even was standing. She even had that stance like she was a queen at the end, like with the one leg in front of you.
Yes! Girl. Pink raincoat!
2-year-old Parker Curry was so awestruck by the towering portrait of Michelle Obama that every time her mother would try to get her to turn around to take a picture, she would not stop staring at it. Parker was in front of the portrait, and I really wanted her to turn around so I could get a picture with her, and she genuinely, honestly would not turn around, said Jessica Curry, a small business owner from Washington, D.C. She was uncooperative with me because she was just so focused on the portrait and studying it, and she was just so fascinated. The image of little Parker was captured by Ben Hines of North Carolina, who took a trip to the National Portrait Gallery with his mother Donna when he spotted a little girl in a pink coat entranced by the dramatic image of the former first lady. He posted the picture on his Facebook page, and it quickly went viral. Even the former first lady got to see a photo of Parker. She responded with a series of 3 hard-eyed smiley face emojis after the painter of her portrait, Amy Sherrard, posted it on Instagram. Sherrard Sherald. Okay, Sherald, an African-American artist based in Baltimore, is known for her themes on social justice. Yeah, that picture is amazing, watching a little girl be entranced by that picture.
And that picture is humongous, baby. I'm gonna have to make me a trip and stare at it too, baby.
Right. So it's kind of interesting. So the mom posted later, in further discussion with Parker yesterday and today, I realized that she believes Michelle Obama is a queen and she wants to be a queen as well. As a female and as a girl of color, it's really important that I show her people who look like her that are doing amazing things and are making history, so she knows that she can do it. Curry added that her youngest daughter Ava, who's only 1 year old, was also totally into the artwork. The official portraits of former President Barack Obama and former First Lady were unveiled last month. Girls and girls of color will see an image of someone who looks like them hanging on the walls on this great American institution, and I know the kind of impact that will have on their lives, because I was one of those girls, said the former First Lady at the official unveiling. And for the record, this is why I did not even engage in the back and forth people were having about whether or not they liked the pictures, and especially a grown ass people, and you know, how much of a likeness was it, and it just, it, I mean, that, for them, they can, you can like it or not like it, I don't really care. All it's right. It's totally up to you, and if you feel like you need to write 500 words on it, do your thing. They definitely put it out to make a statement, and statements are going to get feedback, you know, people are going to write their open letters and all this shit. I just didn't even engage in it. When it happened, we didn't really cover it on the show. Even the back and forth, we didn't cover on the show, because everybody already has their kind of agendas. You see people that already have something to say about everything they do, good or bad. So of course this is just another thing for them to talk about. But to me, my immediate reaction was, oh, these surreal ass paintings are about them being kind of larger than life.
Mm-hmm.
And they clearly wanted to make a statement with these paintings. They you know, and then lastly, it was not for me.
Come on.
As with much of the imagery of those that black family in the White House, it's not necessarily for my generation or the people that are my age or even like a little younger. Like, it's really a lot of kids that will grow up feeling differently than we felt.
Correct.
And I think that is overall good. I do think that achievement is good. I do think the idea of not being limited, or at least being able to see yourself outside of the box they place you in, I think it matters, you know. Yes, sir. And that little girl is what that picture was always for.
Right.
And the other little kids that are gonna see those pictures, it was always for them. It was always, Michelle Obama said as much in the unveiling of her picture, and people still were like, but what does it mean to me as a 45-year-old person? And I'm like,
person that's grown, and you like, yeah, this, I'm like, I don't know. For you, dog.
Well, not just that, but you're 45. You figured your life out already, I hope.
Correct.
I hope that you weren't waiting on this picture to get it together.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's like, I'm glad it inspires you as an adult. You know, not that things can inspire you as an adult, but the intentional purpose, like this, you wouldn't have targeted market when this was designed.
Yeah, or, I mean, I don't know. I just, maybe they had a way you were supposed to feel too. I just don't know. But I'm grown. It's not that big a deal. I won't be talking about it in 2 days. I know it won't. It's just not, I'm not in the art space.
Right.
I don't want to have a discussion about what's tasteful and not tasteful. It's literally up to you. If you want to be pissed at these pictures, paintings, be pissed. I'm not even coming to argue with you about it. If you want to be celebrating them, I'm not coming with you to argue. It just seems very inconsequential to me what grown people think about it. Okay. Because to me, this is about the people who see this and that are able to imagine and dream bigger than what they were, you know, mm-hmm. than we did.
Right. And even as an adult, you could be inspired and stuff like that. But like you say, it's one of the things where you have a little girl standing here loving it. And like you say, you have grown ass adults talking about they ain't got the color palette right. Okay.
I mean, they can. I don't, I don't begrudge those adults. I just want to be clear. I'm not, this isn't me going, if you didn't like it, well, bitch, now you know. This is what this is about. Like, no, I'm not, I don't give a fuck. If you don't like it, it doesn't matter to me. If you love it, it doesn't matter. None of it matters to me. It's always kind of been about, the purpose of that shit was always about other people that were younger than us, that were kids, that were gonna look on that fucking wall, see these big ass paintings and be like, I can be anything I want to be.
Correct.
And that fucking inspiration, we talk about representation matters and we talk about art matters and we talk about all that shit. That to me was the whole point. It just wasn't about me. You know, even the way it's painted to be kind of surreal, and even that looms to, makes a point, a bigger point about aspirations and inspirations and being bigger than life and not fitting in the same mold as everybody else. Like, all of it was just for other people to dream big. And I can recognize when I'm just not the center of some shit and step the fuck away.
Right.
As opposed to being like, but what about me though? Did you think about me? Like, it's just not about me. Like, congratulations. I hope little black kids and shit. I hope all kids, little white kids too, look up there and be like, oh, these people were bigger than life.
Correct.
You know, these people were, these are inspirational people in the same hall as that used to only be white people. You know, I think that shit fucking matters. So
it does.
Everything else, like I said, I don't know anything about art. I'm not gonna begrudge your art opinion when I don't know shit about art. I also didn't even understand the argument of telling people they couldn't have an opinion on some art when we all have fucking opinions at whatever level we are. It's not like they present art only to these snobby ass high society motherfuckers. Right. Like, art is in a museum that anyone can go in and watch
and critique it. Yes.
Yeah. So it's not even some, you need to know this. I don't need to know shit. It's a picture. It's out there. I can see it. You can see it. You can be like, I ain't feeling that. To a certain extent, I wish we could take down some of the reverence that we do have in the art world for shit. You know, cause a lot of that is still seeped in white supremacy.
Come on.
We just talked about it last week with, I think with Marsha, we talked about, like, I think Karen brought up how black art is always touring, but the white art is a stationary part of the exhibit that will always be there for every kid to see. And the black art, you know, the art for Africans, the art for Indian, the art for people that aren't, you know, white cis people or whatever, for the, in general, that art always roaming around the country and looking for a home. But this other shit is just like, this is the home for this art, you know? So when you walk in,
see it, you gotta come here.
Right. You walk in and we have established the Mona Lisa is a work of fucking art, but this black shit, that shit is relegated to, oh, the ancient Egypt tour is coming around to you, don't miss it.
Yeah, because our museum here, the Mint Museum, like a lead us to NPR, and you like, what, like I said, I didn't, what I realized is that every time I turn around, is the African culture, the Egypt culture, you know, the Japan, the Chinese culture, all these brown people or what they consider quote unquote other people, that shit is always touring, and we're gonna only be here for 4 weeks or 6 weeks or 8 weeks. We're only gonna be here for 3 months, and then they pack that shit up and they go on to the next spot. But what you don't see is the motherfucking Mona Lisa touring. That bitch is where she at, and she ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, so I just think it's kind of interesting how we're already relegated to the side. So I don't really buy into the whole, like, you gotta think this guy was good and that guy. The people that taught me to think that all those painters were the greatest painters are white people, and I don't buy that all the great painters are white. Mm-mm. I don't buy it.
You know how many people that people considered other, and you know, I'm talking about like black, brown, LGBTQ and all that stuff, that have some of the most beautiful artwork that we will never fucking see in the masses because, you know, they don't get their break, or people don't consider their stuff good or worthy enough to be with these quote unquote classics.
Yeah, it's just like I said, Leonardo and fucking Michelangelo and Donatello and Raphael and Master Splinter. But you know, Da Vinci, right. Like, it's all a bunch of white people, man. And the people that told me they was the greatest was some white people.
Right.
You know, it's just hard for me as a black person to be like, well, that's the be all end all, and if you don't know about them, then you can't talk about art. Man, fuck that shit. If the shit don't bang, then the shit ain't good anyway.
Right, and different art speak to different people, different types of ways, and like, it's one of those things, but the older I get, I actually sometimes go out of my way to actually look for black art and brown art, like, and stuff like that, because like you say, since everybody on these motherfucking touring tours, you know, I don't never know when I can go to the Mint Museum to see the shit, because it's always touring.
Right. Let's see what else we can do. Oh, the Pope suggests it's better to be an atheist than a bad Christian. If you're a Christian who exploits people, leads a double life, or manages a dirty business, perhaps it's better not to call yourself a believer, Pope Francis suggested in homily on Thursday in Rome. So many Christians are like this, and these people scandalize others, Francis said during his morning mass at Casa Santa Marta, according to Vatican Radio. How many times have we heard, all of us around the neighborhood and elsewhere, but to be a Catholic like that, it's better to be an atheist. It is that scandal. But what is scandal? Scandal is saying one thing and doing another. In the Catholic Church, causing scandal also a grave offense. Examples of such sins abound, the Pope said, from money launderers to business owners who take beach vacations while stiffing their employees. Francis' sermon is, as customary, was an extended riff on Thursday's mass readings, which included a passage from the Gospel of Mark. In it, Jesus says, it is better to be drowned than to cause others to sin. Drawing on that passage, the Catholic Catechism, says scandals include business leaders who encourage fraud, teachers who agitate students, and manipulators who turn people away from moral values. In other words, anyone who leads others to do wrong, directly or indirectly, is responsible for the evil he has encouraged, the church says. So when Francis compares hypocritical Christians to atheists, he's not being flip, he's trying to protect his flock. In the United States, some Catholics have cited the church's teachings on scandal to argue that priests should not distribute Holy Communion to politicians who support abortion rights. Francis, a sharp critic of capitalist excesses, turned his scorn instead on greedy business people. While many of this Pope's pronouncements are often assumed to be novel interpretations of Christian doctrines, Francis was also touching on an ancient debate. If you believe but don't behave, can you get into heaven? No, the Pope suggested in characteristically blunt language. It's interesting because he is always like cool Pope, but he's still doing it within this this box of Catholicism.
Like you say, new Pope, same shit, nothing's going to change. He's just talking, like, he's literally just talking.
The thing for me with him is I do feel like he's kind of that breath of fresh air to a certain extent. Like, I'm not trying to belittle everything he does, but a lot of his shit is by omission. Like, I feel like if you asked him, like, so does this mean that if a politician supports abortion rights, they are killing children in your eyes and don't deserve to go to heaven? I feel like he wouldn't answer that question. Like, I think that's what he's become good at. Like, he's not gonna come out and, I mean, and popes have power, you know, and I don't know how much power, with, like, if they gonna kill him or some shit if he get too crazy, I don't know how that works, but they have power. And I feel like and they were losing numbers, and they might still be losing numbers, but I know they were losing numbers majorly when he took over as Pope, because people was like, I don't believe in all this shit. Okay, we can now fly across the world in a few hours, we can fucking, like, there's, you know, internet and TV and shit, like, yeah, all this wasn't in the Bible.
Y'all been molesting boys,
right? Y'all have right.
been holding keep people accountable before, and, you know, so it was just one of those things. As somebody, you know, who has been hurt by this organization as a total, a lot of people have, millions of people, possibly, they're going, we hear you, but are you really going to apply that?
Well, what I was gonna say is, it's not that I think people are skeptical like that. I think they want to believe.
Correct.
So so what he does is he allows them to believe by omitting shit. Like, he's never gonna come out and be like, yo, these fucking gay people, dog, they going to hell and stop being gay. He'll say, this is a quote, if someone is gay and he searches for the Lord and has goodwill, who am I to judge? That's the closest you're gonna get.
Correct.
Like, he not gonna come out and say that, like, we need, as the Catholic Church, as an organization, we have to stop declaring being gay a sin. He's not gonna do that. But he'll just say it in the kindest way possible, like, hey, who am I to judge? The Pope. People want to know what you think. That's why people keep asking you about it. They want to know your judgment, because it matters to a lot of people in the world what you think.
Correct.
What is it that I expect as a consequence of World Youth Day? I want a mess. Who knew? We knew that in Rio there would be great disorder, but I want trouble in the diocese, he said. St. Peter committed one of the greatest sins, denying Christ, and yet they made him Pope. Think about that, he said. We must meet one another doing good, but I don't believe, Father, I am an atheist, but do good. We will meet one another there. A church without women would be like a apostolic college without Mary. The Madonna is more important than the apostles, and the church herself is feminine, the spouse of Christ and a mother. So like he says shit that I think, you know, you could be, hey, look at this, it's, that's feminism kind of within a church spectrum. Well, can women be priests?
Come on, can women,
you know what I mean,
leave?
Like I think he omits certain shit. Like it's all, it's like, I don't want to talk about that, but I will say this, that women are great and we should keep them around. Okay,
the shit that we don't want to do,
right? Unless you want to be a priest and you can't fuck no women, that's crazy. anyway, I just thought it was interesting that he said that. And I think also there's this thing called Catholic atheism, where people are kind of believers but not really, like they don't practice any of the shit. He probably trying to get them back in the church too. Like, hey, I know you feel like you're an atheist, I know you feel like there's no God and this is all bullshit, but you grew up Catholic, come back to church. You know, hey, it's better to be an atheist that doesn't hurt people than a Christian who does, right? Come on back to church, atheist dude. Like I'm not, hey, who am I to hate, who am I to judge? That's how it feels to me, like what he's trying to promote. I hate to be that cynical about it, but I mean, them numbers don't lie. They need people to show up in them pews.
Come on, they emerging like out here, emerging like McDonald's and shit like that. If they were downsizing,
yep. All right, let's see what else we can do. Let's get into some other segments. How about? Oh, let's do fucking with black people.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. Time to play that game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game that goes all around the all around the world, and we find different articles to make us feel fuck with as black people. We'll assign point scores from 0 to 100 at intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. All right, everybody, let's do it. Exclusive. Florida public school teacher has a white nationalist podcast. Diana Voletich, a 25-year-old social studies teacher. What is it about social studies?
Come on.
At Crystal River Middle School in Florida, has been secretly hosting the white nationalist podcast, Unapologetic, under the pseudonym Tiana Delachove. Delachove? So her real name is Diana Voletich, and she's been going by Tiana Delachove. Okay. And bragging about teaching her views in public school.
That's how you got caught, baby.
That might be how they caught her. I mean, you did brag about teaching in public school.
Right, so somebody gonna find out who the fuck you are.
Mm-hmm. I think we know how she got caught.
Yes, that was on the case.
Think Black Twitter CSI got her.
They start getting them alerts. Hey, a bitch racist. Let's get on it. OCCT kids.
She slipped up and gave one too many details.
Yeah, she did.
She probably slipped up one time. I was like, you know, the other day I was watching Orlando Magic game. They say, this bitch in Florida. Okay. That's all I needed to know. Now, I need you to put in Google, three syllable names, because she's probably using the alias for her first name.
Yes! Yes!
Search all teachers with three syllable names.
Search teacher and podcast and see what you get, bitch.
See what you get.
See what the results is.
Search the registry of domain names in Florida.
Yes!
Involving Tiana. Okay, we didn't get a hit on that. Search all three syllable names. And now let's cross references that with the teaching role sheet at the schools in the school district.
Come on. That's how they caught her ass.
In our most recent podcast, February 26th, she railed against diversity in schools, dismissing the idea that a kid from Nigeria and a kid who came from Sweden are supposed to learn exactly the same and have the same IQ. She enthusiastically agreed with the guest and went on to argue that science has proven that certain races are smarter than others. Science, huh? That old beast. In the same episode, she boasted about bringing her white nationalist beliefs into the classroom and hiding her ideology from administrators.
I wonder why you feel like you got to hide shit.
How come when black people say these things happen and that these teachers are racist and da-da-da, we end up being gaslit? And how can you know? What? Why would you even say something like that? Well, she's just saying it out and just saying it out here right in front of everybody.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. She said that when parents complained to the school's principal about how she's injecting political bias into the classroom, she lied to the principal and said it was not true.
Of course. Because you're trying to keep a motherfucking job.
Yeah, they making it up. So now the kids look crazy. Right? She told us the Confederate flag is just freedom of speech, but Black Lives Matter is a terrorist organization. Mm-mm-mm. Oh, Diana. Or Tiana. What? Or Diana.
Okay. Now back to
this shaking the table.
I hear shaking the damn table.
Come on.
She believed me and backed off, she said. Volatich also agreed with her guest's assertion that more white supremacists need to infiltrate public schools and become teachers. They don't have to be vocal about their views, but get in there, she said. Be more covert and just start taking over these places. Right, Volatich said. I'm absolutely one of them. I cannot wait to see how she defends this shit on Monday morning. Woo! I know she ain't looking forward to Monday morning. Was she coming to work Monday morning? It's gonna be on. Oh my god, I can't wait.
Me either. They caught her.
She sound unapologetic too.
Catch me outside, how about that?
Come on.
She like, yes, I'm racist. You wanna see these hands? After the HuffPost made inquiries about her white nationalism to the Citrus County School District on Friday, Tiana Dolichov tweeted that she might disappear for a while. Now that's her alias. I'm sure it's a coincidence. I'm sure it's a coincidence that they called about the actual teacher having racist views and the alias for the teacher tweeted out, I might have to take a break.
Because they was on her ass.
Guys, you might not see me around here for a while.
Could you take that voice and play back and put it in Google, you know, Google Voices to see if it's been played somewhere else?
The thing is, though, screenshots are forever, motherfuckers.
Forever.
And they took screenshots of her shit before she deleted her account.
The internet never forgets.
It isn't supremacist or hateful to prefer your own people over others, she told True_Canuck1. She also put, you know, America's education system is designed to enable victimization when teachers are forced to learn about institutional racism and prove it's real when it isn't. I literally feel brain cells dying as I read this bullshit. By the way, her, see, this is how they got her. Her alias, the racist, you know, alt-right one, she used her own picture as an avatar.
No, she didn't. She didn't go with the American Eagle or flat. Oh, she ain't know the rules. She ain't know the rules. Go ahead and drop that picture in the Google image search.
Thank you for saving us the extra 3 seconds it would take to find you. She also had put hashtag Sunday morning, which, as everybody knows, is the worst time to put anything on Twitter.
Anything.
She also told somebody, white privilege, prove to me that it exists. Show me statistics that prove whites benefit economically solely because of their race. Someone said, this is a person that reaches 10k followers. Y'all stick with my 700 followers who have heart and compassion. She retweeted that and said, what does compassion have to do with the fact that systemic racism and white privilege aren't real? Upside down smiley face, which she definitely stole from Black Twitter.
Come on.
That's amazing.
And you know what, though? I'm glad. I would rather have it go fast and hard and in your face than slow and gradual for the next 100 years where everyone just kind of mixes out slowly. I want to see rapid change because I think that will create a rapid awakening. And that's what's happening. So I love it when the left pushes really hard and fast and is loud and exposes their goals and hates white people openly. I mean, that's really a plus for us.
Yeah, and it seems like, at least from what I've heard, that things at the college level are, they're not that much better, but they're getting a little bit better in terms of a lot of colleges are starting to shut down the safe space bullcrap and, you know, all this.
As they let white nationalists on campus under the guise of two sides, gotta be two sides, freedom of speech, these are the people celebrating it. Who y'all think they voted for? I wonder who they could have, what candidate could have gotten their vote.
These women are white, so they might not be out there marching, but they are supporting the bullshit.
Now, one of the scary parts about this, she works at an overwhelmingly white school. 90% of the school's students identify as white, only 4% identify as Black, 3% identify as Hispanic. So she's teaching these young, impressionable white people, hey, be proud of your white heritage, white privilege is bullshit. There's nothing wrong with white nationalism.
Don't let people make you feel bad.
White supremacy is getting a bad rep. You guys just, there's no such thing as privilege. You're fine. Now most of the students qualify for free and reduced, lunch, even though they white.
Come on.
Sky Hebert, who is executive director of educational services for Sutchess County School District, could not confirm that Dalachov was Volatich, but said the district will be looking into statements she made, checking the validity to see if they violate the code of ethics policy.
Oh, you know, check the records.
She does not speak on behalf of the school district. The views she listed online are really not in line with how our district operates.
Are you sure?
Tiana Dolachov didn't respond to HuffPost's request for comment on Facebook or Twitter on Friday. She since deleted her social media accounts. She did not respond to HuffPost's message to her school email address on Friday either. Earlier this week, the blog Angry White Men, which tracks white nationalism, wrote a post about how someone named Tiana Dolachov had interviewed the prominent white supremacist media figure Lana Lochteff. And on this week's episode of Unapologetic, Lochteff works for the media outfit Red Ice TV with Southern Poverty Law Center recently designated as a hate crime group.
Come on.
I mean, a hate group.
Yeah.
In this episode, she openly talked about being a public school teacher and didn't reveal her name or the school where she worked. That's how they got it's like she finally slipped. She probably had never let that shit slip before. Somebody was like, you know what? I don't like this. I'm going to have to check this shit out.
Yes! We on the case. Bitch, what she say? Get on it. Yes!
On an episode of her podcast, she mentioned last school year was her first year in the district where she works. Sutchess County School District confirmed that she started teaching last August 2016. God damn, they was on it. They so good.
They're like, we know how when you started, dog. Black Don't Twitter, fuck with us.
Black Twitter CSI put them details together. Got her up out the paint. Nothing better.
I wonder what they do after they win the case.
Yeah. Volatich's photo of the Crystal River Middle School website and social media profile photos of Tiana Dolachov appear to feature the same person. The photos show Volatich and Dolachov wearing the same set of earrings.
Shitty.
To the earrings, Karen. They got the earring. They probably Google image search the earrings, found out how much they cost and what Florida places are selling them, and they know where she live now. I'm sure of it.
Lord have mercy. That's why you do no earrings. That's why you think everybody used the bald eagle in the American flag.
They could tell you which Walmart she bought those from.
Come on.
Mm-mm-mm. They was on top of it.
Same. They was like enhance again. Spit, turn it to the left.
Zoom in.
Who sell those earrings?
Zoom in on those earrings.
What is that? East 49th?
Right.
Jewish Street? We got a bitch. We know where she at.
That is definitely Tiana Dolichov, a.k.a. Diana Volatich. Oh, we got him. The open and shut case. Send this to Huffington Post.
Open and shut, nigga.
And they don't have cases, Karen. They don't have actual trials. We just, Black Twitter just gets tried in the court of public opinion. That's it. Ain't no actual law. All these white people will be fine. In her podcast appearances and social media posts, Volatich talks regularly about being a teacher, even mentioning she teaches in Florida, and makes statements that are deeply alarming, particularly for someone tasked with shaping the minds of middle school students. On this week's podcast, Volatich said that when students ask her questions about current events, she responds with unbiased, quote-unquote, facts. But as Tiana Dolichov, Volatich has suggested facts such as terrorism will continue unless Muslims are eradicated from the face of the earth. Fact.
What you teaching kids?
She also was getting sent to Twitter jail, it appears. Apologize for my absence. Twitter confined me in Twitter jail for the second time this week for educating people on the horror of hashtag Islam. Let's see if they make me delete this tweet too. Place your bets.
You think whenever you get a Black Twitter CSI email to play that same music when you're, I don't got the music on. Where's this music playing from? My speaker's off. Why am I still hearing this?
I hope they don't send it to the offenders. I don't want them to get these jams.
No. They ain't sending it to the offenders. Like when they sending them out to the parties, be like, look what we found, bitch. Bloop,
bloop. Oh, to the principals and
yes.
Shit? Yes. She has gushed about the work.
Like, why is this email partying?
I know. It says, who is Tiana Dolichov? Open for a surprise.
And all you see is pictures flashing and shit.
This seems very disturbing.
I know. What is happening here? My speakers are off. My speakers are off. Why am I hearing this music?
Is that Diana?
I know, right?
But yeah, she gushed about her work with anti-Semitic author Kevin McDonald and has said that JQ is incredibly complex. JQ stands for the Jewish question, an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory that Jewish people have undue influence over the media, banking policies, and that somehow must be addressed. And we know how they tried to address that in the past.
Come on.
By killing Jewish people.
A whole lot of them.
She also tweeted out, currently reading Kevin McDonald, The Culture of Critique, which literally is a cover of a book with a bunch of shadows wearing the Jewish, like that hat, the traditional hat. And it says, an evolutionary analysis of Jewish involvement in 20th century intellectual and political movements. And she put, currently reading Kissy Face, I guess painting my nails emoji, only a few pages in and my mind is already blown. One of the things I find low key about this, and I don't know if it's because I'm a man or not, she also seems to be kind of a pick me of the neo-Nazis.
Come on.
You know, like the way she's kind of putting herself out there, these little, like the snarky shit, the stealing Black Twitter, like the kissy face emoji. Like, what does kissy face emoji have to do with anything?
Right.
It's just weird. Like, and I think a lot of women that go down this rabbit hole, with a lot of these, like even the hotel shit, a lot of this is about impressing those weak ass men over there that go around talking about how women are the problem. And then there's always a woman over there like, yeah, women are the problem. Y'all men have it so hard. And it's, I've seen it before, but this is just for the alt-right. I'm not being patronizing, I'm stating facts, she said, and the Jewish question is incredibly complex. If you truly open to exploring it, I'll send you some resources privately. She's repeatedly praised, defended, and retweeted neo-Nazis and white supremacists,
including
David Duke, Arthur Jones, Patrick Casey, Mark Collette, and Mike Pienovich, aka Mike Enoch. Anyway, they found her, so good for that.
They found her. They was on the case. Shout out to y'all.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I call them cases. I know they're not cases, but shout out to them.
She also made clear on another podcast this year, her students know her political beliefs. She said they asked her who she was going to vote for when she was a guest on the Resistance podcast. Wow. She said, we wouldn't tell the students, fearing retribution from administrators, but she told them, if you can figure out who I voted for, you can put the name in this basket on my desk, and we'll see how many of you can figure it out. I will give your class a reward. She said all her students guessed correctly by using logic and engaging with what she was teaching. So they just know you're a bigot. Can't imagine having to be the black kid to put Trump in that motherfucking thing for the good grade. You think black kids get a good grade in her class?
No.
The one where she believes that they're genetically and mentally inferior? Think she's out there giving out A's, mm-mm, guys?
Nope, not unless she say mass is the best. Not unless they say mass is the best thing ever.
With her facts that they're probably having a dispute and be like, that's not true, you get a D. Anyway, 0 to 100, Karen?
Oh, she got
I give it 100 as
Black
well.
Black Twitter CS, I get 0.
Of course. NAACP sues Myrtle Beach for racially discriminatory practices during Black Bike Week.
Good. Fuck them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not surprised at all by this. Anytime there's a gathering of black people, shit gets mad racist.
Right. People hike up their race. They charge ridiculous fucking taxes.
Yeah, CIAA is in town this weekend. I don't even be going downtown because it's like, I don't want to deal with the weird double racism that you have to deal with.
Right,
all of a sudden
everything doubles and triples in price. You're like, look, I come here fucking last week. Why is this shit 8 times more?
I've gone downtown during NASCAR week and it's never like that.
Ever.
They ain't charging no extra gratuity charges on the bill when these fucking rednecks are coming into town that ain't from North Carolina, they ain't from Charlotte, and ain't got no culture, and there's no dress code and shit. They just let them do whatever the fuck they want. And they don't worry about it. But when it's some black shit, it immediately is like, nope, can't do that. Anyway, they filed a suit against Myrtle Beach and Myrtle Beach police, citing discrimination against African American tourists during Black Bike Week. The complaint was filed by the National NAACP, the Myrtle Beach branch of the NAACP, and three individuals in U.S. District Court for the District of South Carolina. They also have plans for they also are filing a motion for a preliminary injunction to stop the city from enforcing its plans for the 2018 event that's coming up in May. Apparently the city is going to try to do some same shit they do with CIAA. They're going to have different restrictions on this event as opposed to any other event.
Right.
According to a news release, complaint says there are stark differences in the treatment of African-American bikers during Black Bike Week compared to the treatment of majority white bikers during Harley Week.
Come on!
White bikers do not have to go through that, so why should we? Said the individual plaintiff, Samuel Jones, who's a former U.S. Marine and an attendee of Black Bike Week. Harley Week occurs in early May, where Black Bike Week occurs during Memorial Day weekend. Officials with the NAACP have said that in the past, the city's plans for the motorcycle rally over Memorial Day weekend include a 23-mile traffic loop, which is discriminatory against black attendees coming for the event, also known as Bike Fest. The city of Myrtle Beach and its police department imposed no formal traffic plan during Harley Week. However, during Black Bike Week, they restrict the main two-way thoroughfare, Ocean Boulevard, to a single lane of southbound traffic. All vehicles entering Ocean Boulevard at night are forced to travel through a 23-mile loop with just one exit.
Right, they want to make it inconvenient as fuck.
On Saturday night of Black Bike Week, it could take over 6 hours to complete the loop. The complaint also cites the city of Myrtle Beach deploying more officers during Black Bike Week than Harley Week.
Right.
They also cite that police officers utilize overly aggressive policing tactics against African Americans. With those two complaints, the NAACP says the city seeks to make Black Bike Week sufficiently unpleasant for most African American motorists, motorcyclists.
They want to decrease people coming,
hoping to stop stop attending the event and making it cease to exist.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I heard happened with Freaknik too.
Yeah, yeah.
They just police the fuck out of it till niggas stop coming.
Of course.
Anson Asaka, the NAACP National Office Associate General Counsel, was in Myrtle Beach on Tuesday for the organization's news conference announcing the suit. He said the goal is to have Black Bike Week treated like every other event in the city.
Right, so we can show the obvious differences, like, okay, that's about the same amount of people come. Mm-hmm. What's the fucking difference? Why y'all gonna have us sit in traffic for 6 hours? Why y'all gonna slow the roads down and shit like that? Like, can you explain to us why? There's never a reason other than racism.
0 to 100.
Oh, a motherfucking 100. Fuck them.
Yeah, I had to get at 100 as well. Can't even just go. Lynette, think about the money that brings to the economy.
That's why I said racism is irrational and illogical, because racism don't even care about being profitable.
Right. You can't even go spend money without motherfuckers being like, how do we get these niggas out of our city, man?
Right. And you guys
out here patronizing the businesses and shit. We're cool with white business, with white motorcycle week, but this is different.
And a lot of these companies actually love niggas being there because they sell. Like, they go, okay, we got Harley Week, we got this. With like a lot of companies, particularly in those areas, actually know when they're coming and prepare and plan, and so you're basically cutting their profits down too. Yeah. So you got companies that this doesn't benefit the companies.
Let me go to the next section in the crowdcast, guys. We'll be right back. We're right at that break. But yeah, it's just infuriating because, like, I'm here to have a good time. I'm here. They've been doing this shit for years, literally, in Myrtle Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee this discrimination's been going on for years, and it's probably their first time really having somebody get their back and suing the city.
Correct. Because fuck them.
Yeah.
And not trying to be funny, they can, and it doesn't benefit them to actually be like this. They can actually take it to another beach and keep it trucking, but they're like, no, we like it here. We shouldn't have to run away, and y'all are just being ridiculous.
I gotta fight you to give you my money.
I gotta fight you to give me my money.
To give you my money, right. Not to give me mine. I gotta fight you so I can give you some fucking money for your hotels. And I keep in mind, it's tourism and shit down there, but it ain't fucking with that. Those 2 weeks, I'm sure, is not fucking with that. You know, compared to just an average weekend where people go down there, it's crazy.
Right, you probably quadruple what your normal fucking regular weekend is. Not trying to be funny, Myrtle Beach ain't all that fucking big, you know, compared to the other beaches I've been to. Be like, bitch, you ought to be glad people even coming out here. What are we talking about?
U.S. court rules dreadlock ban during hiring process is legal. The 11th U.S. Circuit, huh?
I said, of course.
Oh. The 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals recently ruled against a lawsuit filed by the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission against Catastrophe Management Solutions, effectively ruling that refusing to hire someone because of their dreadlocks is legal.
Mm-hmm. Right, because it's considered unkempt.
The lawsuit was filed by the EOC on behalf of Chastity Jones, whose job offer was rescinded by Catastrophe Management Solutions, located in Mobile, Alabama. According to the case file, Jeannie Wilson, a human resource manager for CMS, commented on Jones' dreadlocks during a private hiring meeting to discuss scheduling conflicts, telling Jones, "They tend to get messy, although I'm not saying yours are, but you know what I'm talking about."
They tend to get bitch, this is my hair. What are we talking about here? And some people have grown this all their lives. I'm not cutting my goddamn hair. This makes no sense.
White people don't know shit about black hair.
Talking about it gets messy. No, it gets messy if you put the shit in your hair.
Right. White people don't know shit about black hair. They think that dreadlocks are dirty and nasty because...
Yes, it gets dirty and nasty for them.
Because white people need to add grease and shit to their hair to keep it matted, basically, into matted dreadlocks.
No, white people's hair produces oil. That's why it gets all oily and...
Yeah, but they keep it dreaded up for a long period of time. That's what happens.
Oh, okay, for them. Okay, yeah, we don't have to.
We don't have to worry about that. You know? Like, that shit becomes nasty just by its on its own, because if you were to keep your, a white person were to keep dreadlocks for years and years and years, it's going to turn out to be nasty smelling and shit.
Right.
They associated with that. Their hair is not the same. They don't know what the fuck they talking about. But they're so supremely confident in everything that comes out of their mouths, they would never question, like, maybe I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Maybe I should listen to someone else's experience who's telling you I have dreads and my shit isn't nappy or fucked up. It's amazing how many times white supremacy is fucking insidious like this. It's amazing how many times I've heard white people say some shit like, oh, it'll be, people with dreads are nasty, and they could be talking to somebody with dreads and then they'll be like, well, not you. It's like, well, who do you know that is black that got some nasty, dirty ass, stinking ass dreads?
Right.
Nobody. Is it a fucking coincidence? You don't know anybody? You think you special? It's different for us. That's it. You understand our culture. You understand our hair. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about. You don't know not one name of one black hair product. Shut the fuck up. And it's so insidious, like I said, because it affects shit like the hiring process. I can't get a job with dreads because you decided it's nasty. Now, I wouldn't even be that offended by it if you decided I just don't want people with a certain hair length. Because that can extend, I don't want a white dude with a ponytail. I can understand. Hey, yeah, I get
those
it.
Go across the board.
You feel right. Like that look is unprofessional. And while there's arguments against that, I understand that more because it's more of a fair, like, assessment of I just don't want anybody doing this shit.
Right.
But when you specifically point out just the black hairstyles, nah, man, fuck you.
Yeah, and the same thing when you do natural hair, because there's a lot of white women with natural hair. Their hair naturally goes in various different formats, but it's not black natural hair. So when you say natural hair, you're talking about my black ass.
Right. It's ridiculous. But yeah, they terminated the job offer, of course. In their suit, the EEOC claimed it's a violation of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, arguing dreadlocks are a racial characteristic that have been historically used to stereotype African Americans and not teen players as unfit for the workplace. Therefore, claiming that dreadlocks did not fit a grooming policy is based on the stereotypes inherently discriminatory, as dreadlocks are a hairstyle physiologically, there you go, and culturally associated with African Americans. The Court of Appeals disagreed, ruling that CMS's race-neutral grooming policy was not discriminatory, as hairstyles, while culturally associated with race, are not immutable physical characteristics. In essence, tracing a person's appearance that are tied to their culture but are otherwise changeable are not protected and can be used to deny job offers. That's interesting, because what if I said your nose is too wide? Hey, you can go get a nose job. Is that okay? Like, what is the difference? You know, a lot of shit is changeable now that we didn't consider changeable in 1964.
That don't mean I got to change that shit. Right. And who are these white people walking around with dreadlocks and shit?
Right. But, it's not characteristic of African Americans. I mean, they the only ones that
and
got
you
them.
You can change it. Says who, bitch? That's right. People act like you changing shit is just a quick solution to shit.
Right.
Pulling a wig. Bitch, I might not want no wig. What are we talking about here?
Yep. Anyway, man, that's 100 for me.
Of course.
That's trash. White woman caught on camera screaming, "You're a nigger," at her coworker. I'm sure they get along at work just fine.
Oh, you know they do. They're best friends.
Right. Oh, that's just Maggie being Maggie.
As far as that white woman concerned, they were friends until Obama got elected.
You know how it goes, guys.
Mm-hmm. You the one good one.
Get into it with your coworker. Just have a misunderstanding.
Bitch, get out of my face.
And that's the next thing that's happening.
Mm-hmm. Then they wonder why niggas go to work and don't talk to nobody.
Yeah.
It's like that on purpose. And then you don't fuck around and tell something too personal. Like, shit, I told him something. Now I got to worry about them coming asking me for some shit.
What you mean? About,
you know, because most, I know for a lot of black people, particularly a lot of black people that work in corporate America, a lot of times most keep to themselves. They don't bother nobody. They don't say nothing. But let's say you fuck around and say, "I watched The Walking Dead." And then next thing you know, all of a sudden you got a fucking conversation every week, every time, because they know something now. So every week The Walking Dead, you gotta kind of entertain somebody that you don't really want to talk to. You know they voted for Trump, but you're like, okay. You're like, shit, I shouldn't have said I like The Walking Dead.
Well, this ain't even that. This is a Cactus Jack. It's a restaurant in Fort Myers, Florida.
Oh, okay.
Despite the fact that she was caught on camera going off on a racist tirade against a coworker, this white woman still got a job. Yep. She was repeatedly filmed yelling, "You're a nigger," at a coworker, Orlando Ortega, who was fired from the restaurant shortly before the incident. Restaurant owner Jane Thursfield tells Fox 4 that Markinkowski, the woman who did this, was was actually provoked by Ortega, whom she alleges hit the woman in the face right before she went off on a racist rant.
Ooh.
The lady in the video he actually did hit, she had blood on her face, she was bleeding. Despite this, however, the video does not show her with any blood on her face. Well, do we need facts here? Is that what we upset about? We need video evidence and proof that of what happened? Or can we just take a white woman's word? I mean, she's the victim in all this. You know, sometimes you just be screaming nigger at people and shit. You know, you just can't help it. Additionally, Thursfield said that the use of the racial slur was inappropriate. Even
you were just praising me earlier. I don't understand what I did. You were just praising me.
Get the fuck out of my bar.
I just worked an entire shit.
Fucking nigger.
There you go.
That's it. There you go.
And it all comes out. That's exactly what I was saying.
And there's a white dude. There's two white dudes holding her back from him. And one dude put his hand over her mouth after she said nigger. Almost like he knew she had said it before. And they were trying to keep her from saying it again on camera. And it sounds like the dude started recording to get her, because he knew she had said it already and was going to see if she would repeat it. I do wonder if she was hit, if it was because she called him a nigger and he hit her and then he started recording. Not that it would be acceptable to hit somebody, but still, I wonder what the order of events was. Because the other woman, the owner of the restaurant, is making it sound like this dude just showed up, punched his woman in the face, and started filming her, and he called her a nigger. I wonder what the whole transaction
was. Yeah, it's more of it happened to that, because if he did that, you're wrong too.
Right. And she also emphasized the incident took place off the clock and off business property. So that's why she can still work there.
Fucking nigger sounds like
that. There you go. That's why you're on camera. That's why you're on camera.
Come here. Come down here.
Yeah.
You know, white niggers and black niggers.
I'm not black.
Like,
he's not even black.
Fuck out of my bar.
You were just praising me today. I don't understand this. I work a shift. Now I'm a nigger. I'm all of this.
You are
like,
banned. You are never allowed on this premise.
I don't want this. This is a nasty ass bar. I promise you. I got everything. I got on camera. She's still calling us nigger.
In your face. You say no.
She's calling.
It's funny too. The worst thing she could think of to call him, even though he's not black, is nigger.
Hello. Are you crazy?
Said you are a nigger. Only niggers act like.
What'd you say, Karen?
Right, because in their mind, that's the lowest. That's why everybody is blank nigger. Like if you ever think about other races, they call you blank and just put nigger behind it, because that's the lowest of the low in their mind. Even though there's other, you know, racial slurs that they can use that they know of, but here in America, you know, that's the one. And my thing is this. So you think this about patrons to work here? I mean,
patrons
to come here. You think that about other coworkers to work here? Bitch, you can't work here. You can't work here.
Like, does no other black person work there? You know what I mean? Is there no black person in the kitchen? Nothing? Because, if I'm a black employee, I don't feel comfortable working with her.
Right.
I don't really give a fuck if she got hit or not. She's out here calling people niggers. I think you can't come back from that.
Right. He ought to be charged for hitting her.
Right. Like, and if he hit her, he should be charged for that too, but.
Right. Yeah. If he hit her, he should be charged for that too.
But I question if that happened or not, considering what the owner sounds like and what she sounds like.
Right. Right. It wouldn't surprise me if he never laid a hand on her. They just said that shit to kind of quote unquote justify her showing an ass.
Right. Alright, let's play our, speaking of racism, let's get into some racism, guys. Alright. now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcasts, and we read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, Karen in the chat room, to guess the race, and the chat room plays along, and they're all racist. All right. Milkman was allegedly caught on camera using a barn as a bathroom.
Mm-hmm. We still got milkmen, people that deliver milk to the house.
We still got milkmen, Karen, in 2018.
Oh, this definitely got to be that fresh farm to home milk.
Yeah, it's weird because it's like milkman. I've never heard milkwoman. Are they still not equally hiring in that field?
Who knows? Or either they just call you a man.
Video from in
what?
They just called him a man too. We just a milkman. I'm a woman. You still a milkman.
Inside a barn prompted several of you to ask us to investigate. It allegedly shows a milk truck driver urinating and defecating in a barn. It has more than 700,000 views. We sent Eichmann David to Highgate.
Wait, urinating and defecating? That's a lot.
I mean, did he not like the farm? I mean, what's happening here?
Urinating and defecating, like, you're really, oh my God. I mean, don't cry over soiled milk, I guess. But, just saying. Something in the milk is rotten. You might want to check the expiration date on that milk. I'm just saying.
We could see into the window of the milk house and he kept disappearing.
The alarming video caught on surveillance cameras shows a milk truck driver who was not associated with the farm or their co-op urinating in their barn next to the dairy cows.
When the videos came up of what he had been doing, the one right then, I couldn't move. I froze and I shook.
The video shows the same driver relieving himself in the barn and using improper testing when taking samples of the milk.
Shattered. He took something. You know, we've raised our kids down there. That's where you spend 90% of your time, and your kids are along with you when they've walked in that barn and they've been in that milk house. And how do you have someone that you're paying to take your product be so disrespectful to it?
Our investigators are looking into all possible avenues for this, whether there's some regulatory issues of sanitation, possibly animal abuse, etc. And my understanding is authorities, police or sheriff's department have been contacted as well.
I'm not sure that we even cared if laws were broken because what we saw was not acceptable.
We spoke with Dairy Farmers of America over the phone. They are the co-op which distributes milk from this Franklin County farm. I'm told the driver was independent from both the farm and the co-op and drove for Valiant Court Trucking. He has since been terminated from the job. The co-op says their goal is to protect their farmers.
We saw the videos. What we saw was deplorable. Listen, if you're going to deal with our members and deal with our milk supply, we have expectations that you do so in a professional manner, and this is far from that. If you're going to come onto our dairies and try to violate that, we're going to push back hard.
Which for these farmers, they feel this should have never happened.
He doesn't belong in the main barn, even if he has to go to the restroom.
So far, the truck driver is not facing any criminal charges. We asked the company if they would release his name. They declined. We've reached out to police a number of times trying to get more information about this case. We have yet to hear back. Reporting in...
Oh, this is white.
They are milking this story for all it's worth. Sorry, guys. This is just utter madness. All right. So you said white care?
Yes.
Mm-mm-mm. As the world churns.
Oh
Let's see what percent of the chat room agrees with you. Think it's gonna be 1%, 2%?
Come on.
Skim or hold? All right, that's enough. All right, let's check the chat room and see what they believe. wait, hold on. Did you ask them already?
Yes.
Okay. But oh well, if you gotta go, go 8 Mile white. White like the milk he delivers. White man that gave a shit. Hit my stomach curled over. Just like his uniform, that lactose intolerance and that milk he delivered. White, lactose intolerant. White, the main barn. Okay, whole milk, whole white. One who became one with the cow. White milk lemonade. Push the button, fudges made white. Don't take a roll in the hay. This 1950s white, creamy white. It was no skim off his nose. White, the utter Caucasian of this man. Bullshit, I think not. White, he didn't want to boo boo on himself. White and skim. The correct answer is everyone got it. He's white. Yeah, I don't know. I would have let it go. They're not charging them with a crime. Because there's no use crying over spilled milk. That's him in the video down there. Is it showing in chat?
Yes, it is.
He's like, he'll take a shit anywhere. He just got that look. Like, I'll just pull up, take a shit wherever the fuck I feel like it. I got to piss. These cows gonna have to deal with this. I feel bad for them cows. They're like, come on, man.
Right.
I shit in here. This is my bathroom.
You shit in here too.
Ain't peeing like directly where the cow's at and everything.
Right.
And they won't release his name. That's the whitest part of the whole thing.
Come on. All he gonna do is get a job delivering for another dairy company.
If this had been a nigga, it would have been like Jerome Johnson arrested for peeing in a place where cows poop and pee. let's go to the next one. A woman 25 years old dumped her popcorn on a noisy 2-year-old girl's head in a movie theater and then hit her with a container because she asked her mother for a treat.
What? Do we hate kids that much? What is happening?
I don't know. You guys are always the ones coming down
on me. I didn't say attack the kids.
It sound like this is right up your alley though.
No, it is not.
I don't feel like y'all be that far away.
Mm-mm. Don't attack the children. Let kids be kids.
I'm the only one that love the kids around here. The rest of y'all always, oh, I hate when I go to the movies. It's a kid in there. This is Jedi. This Star Wars, bitch. Get your kid out of here. Next thing you know, you're encouraging people to get out there and hit kids. They get it from y'all.
No, don't be attacking the children.
A woman dumped her popcorn on a 2-year-old at the movies and started hitting the tot after the child asked her mother for a treat. The mother was right there. Carrie Carmen, 25, was charged with endangering the welfare of a child that she attacked a 2-year-old she did not know in Long Island, New York, while watching the PG-13 blockbuster Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Duh!
First of all, what are you doing still watching Star Wars The Last Jedi and it's so late? You know what I mean? Is that even still in theaters?
It's like the $1, $2 theater now. Gotta be.
You go to the $1 movie theater, you get a $1 experience, motherfucker.
Come on.
Kids gonna be in there.
It ain't in the regular theater no more.
Kids gonna be in there playing with toys inside. They got like a little, like you can do whatever you want.
I mean, the flow all sticky. I mean, damn, it's a dollar theater, dog.
Right. The fuck you expected? She was at the AMC Dine-In in Levittown with her father, Charles Carmen, 61. First of all, you 25 and your dad 61. Why are y'all hanging out? When a little girl next to her asked her mother for some popcorn, all she said was, popcorn? And she didn't even say a full sentence. Celia Riggs, the mom of the 2-year-old, named Harley, told in New York Post. And so after that, apparently, she couldn't handle it. Okay, you know what? This happened January 2nd. Okay, I was going to say. So this is actually a long time ago. But the pair was finally charged Friday, even though it happened January 2nd.
Ah, okay.
Riggs took to Facebook on January 3rd to share a photo of her daughter saying, please share. Looking for anyone who was in Levittown, Lois, about 4 p.m. showing the Star Wars on January 2nd. My 2-year-old daughter was assaulted while sitting at my side during a movie. There's an investigation. Police are involved, but the person who did it got away. If you have any info, contact me ASAP. Let's get justice for Harley and use social media to find this lunatic. Hashtag justice for Harley. Aww. After that, they found the woman and she was charged, and her dad was charged as well because he failed to stop the incident when it happened. Carrie allegedly, it's funny, he was in there with his daughter and she was in there with her daughter, and it was daughter on daughter violence. Damn, daughters killing daughters. Ain't that a shame? Carrie allegedly started cussing out the 28-year-old mother of the child after she snapped and told her to be quiet. The 25-year-old then clamped her hand around the child's mouth, dumped her popcorn on top of the girl, and proceeded to hit her across the head with the bin. Y'all, a 2-year-old, she does not know that it's not hers in front of her mama. How is she alive?
Come on.
Woo.
She'd have got all of these hands. That'd have been one time I'd have been like, y'all know what? Bitch, the cops gonna have to get me today.
The pair fled the movie theater once the child started crying.
Right, because you were fucking wrong and you knew you were.
I think they just left because they were fed up with that child. Like, oh, now the bitch crying? Jesus Christ. Oh, why'd you bring your kid in here? It's bad enough she asked for popcorn, but now she can't control herself. She take her ass whooping and start crying. Come on, man. How the fuck am I supposed to hear what's going on the screen? This is why I don't come to these movies. I'm going to go talk to a manager. Get your kid kicked out. The county police were alerted to the incident after the 2-year-old went to the doctor the same day complaining of head pain. Cause, you know, hitting a baby in the head with a bucket of popcorn is probably gonna hurt a 2-year-old's head.
Right, as an adult.
The police searched surveillance footage and movie theater receipts to identify the pair involved in the incident. They arrested the Carmens, who live in Baldwin, on Friday at 3:30 p.m. It's unclear what sentence they might face from the incident. Guess the race of the two criminals.
White. I'm going white.
Let's check the chat room, see what they believe.
And I hope they get a buttery sentence.
Okay.
Y'all asked for this bullshit.
They didn't ask for that.
Yeah, they did.
The chat room says, see what they believe. And the movie was Last Jedi. I saw someone ask what was the movie. Where's you guess for the race?
I thought I did, yeah.
Did you? I can't find it. Hold on. Okay. They don't let black folks on that part of Long Island, so she the whitest. Delicate white flower, Long Island woman does racist podcast on the side, white. Oh. I was told by Apple Care, white, 53% and all over the damn place, white. Why does she look 50 and she 24, white?
Oh.
Wish she would have tried to even look at my kid funny, white. A white woman. I can't believe at Rodman's Prime spoiled this old movie for me, white. Ha! Snuck in some green bean casserole to eat during the movie, white.
Oh, not the green beans.
On a date with her daddy, white.
Oh,
she white, for sure. White, illegally blonde, 25. Apple Care Meth, white. The Cock Cassidy, white. Popcorn with a sprinkle of Maalox, white. This popcorn is too seasoned. There's too much salt on this. Anyway, the correct answer is, I think everyone guessed the same thing. All of you got it right. She was white. Damn, a 2-year-old, man.
I know. I hope somebody says she wore a pink pussy hat while hitting kid white. I hope not, baby.
Is anyone safe?
Come on.
A 2-year-old. I blame the rest of you guys. So y'all are always talking about how much y'all hate kids at restaurants and in movies.
Don't beat children.
Everywhere. Y'all make it seem like these people are right. They be feeling like I can hit these kids now. Y'all are encouraging it.
Mm-mm. Don't beat kids.
All right, let's do another one. A college dropout refuses to leave her dorm room. She loves college life, but not the classes. Hunter College is waging a court battle to evict a stubborn student who refused to leave her dorm room some 2 years after dropping out.
2 years?
2 years. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just don't want to go, Karen. School too good to
you. Is you still paying tuition?
I don't know. I mean, but you could pay rent if you could pay tuition. They said you gotta get the hell out of here.
No!
That's what
That's
she
exactly
said.
What she told him. Who's gonna be your roommate, baby?
You gotta go. No.
You're still in the freshman dorm.
Delaware native Lisa S. Palmer, who had not paid rent since 2016, refused to leave room E579 on the school's campus in the dormitory, according to an eviction lawsuit filed in the Manhattan Supreme Court. That had taken to Supreme Court. The 32-year-old racked up a staggering $94,000 in unpaid residence hall charges on her account of her continued occupancy, all while ignoring Hunter College's service of additional vacate notices. As of today, June 7th, 2016, you are still in occupancy of the aforementioned room. Mitchell Kwok, assistant director of Residence Life, wrote Palmer 2 summers ago. Last fall, a Hunter attorney, continued the battle to get rid of Palmer, sent her an eviction notice that said in bold face type, 30-day notice termination. You're required to vacate and surrender the premises on or before October 30th, 2017. But the former geography major, who now works for an architecture firm, she got a job.
What? Which means you could have just paid them their $90,000, dog.
Show me the ways of finessing that you must have to be able to have a goddamn job.
I mean, do you work on campus too? Shit.
The audacity you must be living your life with. To be able to have a fucking job and be like, nah,
I'm good.
Oh my God.
And to be around a bunch of fucking teenagers. No, thank you.
32. super duper duper senior.
Right. And everybody around you old enough to be your kid.
Mm-hmm. I plan on fighting the lawsuit, and while I fight it, I'm going to stay, she said. She told the Post from outside of her messy 100 square foot single, which is adorned with a lava lamp, a dream catcher, and piles of dirty dishes. She don't even do the dishes. Though school officials say she dropped out, she insists Hunter refused to let her register for fall 2016 class after she disputed her housing and tuition bill. I felt that it was a miscommunication initially, but after I met with the dean, I felt they were starting to treat me unfairly. I was like, get out. Oh, it was like, get out.
Oh, I'm about to say, yeah, they want you to get out. What are we talking about?
Yeah. Y'all, so now I just got to get out because I ain't paid no rent here?
Yeah, man.
Wow.
Yes, you got to go. You got to go.
Only full-time students who maintain a minimum grade point average and keep current on their room and board fees can stay in the dorms, the suit says. Palmer, who first enrolled in Hunter in 2010 after a stint at St. John's University in Queens, said dorm life was really lonely for someone in her 30s. I feel very isolated. Then why do you want to stay there? She said.
Right, you're around a bunch of fucking teenagers. Y'all don't have shit in common.
Noting that Hunter moved her to a wing that's only occupied by a middle-aged nurse whom the college is also trying to evict. The college wants to boot a total of 9 nurses who were given rooms in various wings when it was owned by Bellevue Hospital. The resident nurses, including 67-year-old Derek DeFreitas, who kept the dormitory room crash pad as the address for decades. All right.
Decades.
Guess the race of
what's her name?
Lisa S. Palmer.
You know what? I'm going black.
Okay. Karen's going black. Let's check the chat room. Palmer. See what they believe in the chat room. black grown ass woman magic. Magic. She had her meal planned and her kid's name Black. Oh! She is living her best white woman of color life, Black. I want to be contrarian, Black. All I gotta do is stay Black and die, nigga. Make colonizer great again.
Oh.
This is hard, but I'm going to say you gonna have to put me out, Black. Black, that's some white people shit. White? The correct answer is Black. Okay, correct answer is, and Karen, you got it correct. She's Black. And some of y'all did miss it. The nerve to keep the dorm room nasty, though. That's wild to me. But I guess when 100 square feet, I mean, how clean can you keep anything?
Yeah, that's not no room. And
I know one thing.
I mean, she came in when she was 30.
You dating this woman, you dating for life. You better not let her move in. Y'all niggas ain't never getting out of there.
I mean, not that white women, you know, don't go back to school, but I mean, you went back to school and won't stay on campus.
I don't think that's a black thing, though.
That's true.
Anyway, she look like, she hit her Crocs like, come get me, bitch. Okay? I'm 32. I ain't scared of shared showers and taking my toiletries with me to the bathroom every trip. I ain't scared
not having no privacy.
I ain't scared of living in 100 square feet of space. I ain't scared of that.
Yeah, and having to shower in shower shoes.
Like, she like, it's some good fucking up in this dorm room. I know that much. Maybe she just, I have no idea what's going on.
Me either.
Oh my God. Oh my God. All right, let's get out of here. Bonus round. My bad. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race, and the bonus round to guess the race. So far, Karen is 3 for 3. But can she make it 4 for 4?
We're about to see.
We will see in the bonus round. Florida man.
Oh, shit. We never heard about him.
Paralyzed after chasing a monkey that stole his hat.
White.
Destin, Florida. A Florida man now living in Bali is fighting for his life after he fell from a roof while chasing a monkey that has stolen his favorite Pittsburgh Steelers cap. None of the geography in this makes sense.
No. So did he lose it in Bali or did he lose it in Florida?
How's he still a Florida man if he's in Bali?
Yeah, because I guess he's
and
from
why
Florida.
Is he a Steelers fan if he's from Florida?
Right. What is happening here? We didn't know the background history. What is happening here?
The Northwest Florida Daily. That's a very specific paper. They do very specific news.
Northwest Florida shit. Daily, too.
The Northwest Florida.
You get this every day.
Yeah, does news even happen daily in Northwest? I guess it does. It's all bad. Anyway, Northwest Florida Daily News reported that Jeff Swede Swedenhelm fell 33 feet on Monday. Villagers took him to a local hospital where he was diagnosed with severe damage to his spinal cord.
Woo.
He currently is paralyzed from the chest down. Lyric Swedenhelm, who lives in Destin, said the family is trying to get her father to a country with a spinal specialist. She said that he is in a medically induced coma and is on a ventilator. The family started raising funds on GoFundMe, which has already raised $39,000. That ain't bad.
Mm-mm.
At any rate, guess the race of this Florida man.
Oh, he white.
All right, let's check the chat room, see what they believe. These MAGA people are gonna have him deported after this East Asian. Oh. White and all over the world. He was chasing a black man that he called monkey white.
Oh.
Curious George was fascinated by the weird white man in the yellow hat. Still his hat is yellow. White on white. that's what he gets for beating a flamingo white. Aww. I believe I can fly white. I don't like you monkeys in Florida. Hate them in Bali too, white. White man, let one monkey stop this show. White black person would only do that for a new era. And you're right, I bet the brim wasn't even bent. He white, no black person gonna chase a monkey. That's what you get for jerking off that monkey white.
Oh, you get one.
Go ahead.
Get your hands off of me, you damn monkey.
White. Right. Get your goddamn dirty hands off of my Steelers hat. The correct answer is white. Of a goddamn Steelers hat.
Come on. I didn't make it. He kept that fucking Steelers hat.
I mean, he was 33 feet up. That mean he was like in a tree or some shit looking for that monkey.
You gonna have that motherfucking hat.
And the monkey got the hat anyway.
Right, and now you can't walk.
And the Steelers ain't winning shit this year. Oh, man. That's a terrible way to get paralyzed.
Come on, dog.
All right. Let's get to the last thing. Gotta talk sword ratchetness, everyone. As soon as I scroll down to that sound effect, thought I saw it. There we go. A man who took hostages at a noon eaten bowling alley with sawn off shotgun and sword has been jailed. Sawed off shotgun and a sword.
Woo!
I guess when you absolutely want to kill every motherfucker in the room, right?
Come on.
That's some wild shit. He threatened colleagues after trying to find his ex-girlfriend who was off work. He shut the whole bowling alley down, didn't even know her work schedule.
Right.
She lucky as hell, because you know what he was going to do if he would have caught that woman at work. Used a sawed-off shotgun and a samurai sword to take hostages at a bowling alley. He's been jailed for 12 years.
Oh, so they just bowling, buying that overpriced shit, eating, do they old nachos, having a good time. You ruined it.
Oh, that's video of it. Okay, it's not the news video. Okay, cool. David Clark, 54. I guess no relation to Sheriff David Clark, or maybe some. Sparked a terror alert that saw armed police surrounding a leisure park in Noonington as children as young as 5 fled the scene.
Oh.
He demanded to speak to his former girlfriend when he entered the workplace at the bowling alley. October 22nd, Clark began drinking in the bar before pulling the shotgun out of a carrier bag, ordering members of the public to leave the premises.
Oh, shit.
Witnesses described the family running away, screaming as Clark shouted game over and threatened victims by holding a 2-foot-long knife to their throats. Oh, you mean a sword?
Come on.
2-foot-long? You fucking crazy? I'm gonna lie, this video keeps trying to play. Stop. But he took two of the members of the staff hostage, ages 17-24, for more than 4 hours. That's a terrible way to spend a day.
4 hours.
His manager, Josh Steedman, told the court that Clark threatened to sink the knife into his ex-girlfriend's new partner if he arrived and decapitate him.
What?
Well, that won't get her back, buddy. Trust me. Mr. Steedman was ordered to collect a samurai sword from Clark's car and told he would injure the teenage hostage if he did not comply with his instructions, putting the deactivated shotgun to Mr. Steedman's head and ordered him to obey his commands. The court heard that he said, "You ain't making it out of here. You ain't going to see tomorrow." The younger hostage, who still has flashbacks about the incident, had the gun held to the back of his head and waist during the ordeal, while volatile Clark ran around enraged and gratuitous and wanton destruction of the premises. He bit the teenager over a pool table and threatened to cut off his arm. His victim said he felt Clark was going to blow his brains out. Clark told the hostages that one false move and they will all end up like spaghetti because your body parts will be all over the floor.
Oh.
Mr. Stevens said he believed his former friend wanted to go out in a blaze of glory. As the surrounding area was locked down and members of the public were locked in a nearby Odeon, I don't know what that is, for the safety, as armed police moved in, negotiators were in contact with Clark throughout the incident, but armed police moved in after mistaking a nearby firework for a gunshot, rescuing both hostages and arresting their captor. So they accidentally went in and saved everybody.
It's a shootout. I guess we need to stop saving lives.
Clark, who had drunk vodka and taken painkillers, had texted his older sister before driving to the park, telling her, "I'm going to do something I've thought of since my birthday." In mitigation, lawyer Colin Charville said the client was not thinking rationally. He said Clark wanted to engineer a situation where he could talk to his ex-partner. He did not intend to physically hurt anyone. Men are scary as fuck.
Come on.
Scary as fuck. How do you know you're fucking one of these ticking time bomb ass niggas? How are you supposed to know?
You don't.
Judge Andrew Lockhart, QC, told Clark he brought terror to the bowling alley in a bid to be killed by police. Your selfish actions have deeply affected many people, he said. You wanted to put into effect your dreadful scheme to commit, as you said, suicide by cop. Mm-hmm. Praising the action of the police, he said they've been forced to make life or death decisions. Chief Superintendent Alex Franklin Smith said the incident made headlines around the world and left a lasting impact on the local community. This was a planned hostage taken at a place where Clark knew there would be children present, he added. He must have realized the impact of his actions and would have on the victims and everyone else there. Clark is a dangerous individual. We welcome the length of this sentence. I hope it brings some comfort to the victims and the other people caught up in this incident as they continue to come to terms with what they went through. He pled guilty on two counts of false imprisonment, possession of a prohibited firearm with intent to cause fear of violence, and possessing a samurai sword and a knife. He also admitted to possessing an imitation firearm with the intent to cause an indictable offense and one count of criminal damage. Huh. So it sounds like the gun wasn't a quote-unquote real gun. It was a deactivated shotgun.
What?
And he wanted the cops to come in and kill him, but of course nobody knew that at the time.
Of course, right. Wow. How would you know, dog? How would you know?
Oh my god. Anyway, guys, that is a wild incident, and of course swords bring it out in people, and it doesn't matter even if you're at the bowling alley. This is a good reminder to stay in your lane.
Duh. All he was trying to do was strike out on life.
That's difficult to make these bowling puns, Karen. It's almost as difficult as getting a 6-10 split. Mm-mm-mm. I bet when he was in court, he was like, y'all not gonna pin this on me. All right, we gotta get out of here, guys. These jokes are real gutter balls.
He didn't have a moment to spare.
All right, it's not gonna get any better than that. All right, guys, we'll see you tomorrow. Other people, I'll see you in about an hour here when me and Bossy go live for This Too Much. Thank you for listening so much to the show, and we appreciate y'all. Until next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.